or number four, it's keeping those steps, right? It means every day, doing it every single day consistently, just as a runner would training, just as the bodybuilder would training, just as the person learning a skill and getting better at that skill, just as the masterpiece artist, just as the composer of music. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. That transformation takes time, and that's why it is a journey, it is a process, and there is joy in the journey to know that God is transforming us from the inside out as we faithfully follow Him each and every day. Now, what are the practical ways to put all this into practice? Just as you grow in your relationship with your family, just as young lovers grow in their relationship with one another before they're married, just as husbands and wives grow in their relationship with one another in their love and marriage, just as fathers and moms grow in their relationship with their children and vice versa, and just as we grow in our relationship with our friends, we have to spend time with the Lord, just as we spend time with them. Spending time in prayer, spending time in His Word, spending time with other brothers and sisters in Christ, putting into practice, asking the Lord to empower you. And I like to use another metaphor, just as we used walking, I like to use another metaphor for being filled with the Spirit, and that is we breathe in, right, oxygen, and what do we breathe out? Carbon dioxide. The oxygen is what I need for my entire body. We just subconsciously do that. It's because the brain is working. I'm taking in the oxygen. I take away the oxygen here, I'm going to die. You're going to die. It's amazing. Just like that. It's going to be over. Same thing with our smartphones. Have you ever noticed the smartphones? Great, great pieces. Little computers. But what do we have to do every day or every other day? We got to charge those things, man. If they're not charged, they don't work. And in the same way, if I'm not charged by the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to work spiritually. The natural man doesn't even know enough to plug it in. We, spiritual, know enough to plug it in, but we have to consciously plug it in. And the way I do that is breathe in, saying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit now, and then cleanse me of that sin. I confess that sin. I put it under the cross. Help me to do what I need to do better. I failed. I haven't spent as much time with you. I haven't given enough. All of that, I confess that. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give me direction. And I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to be available to God. I'm going to be willing to hear His voice. But it takes a conscious decision. It takes continuous effort. It takes being patient. It takes getting up when you fall down. That's the only way it's going to happen. I close with two examples, things that happened to me recently, of how the Holy Spirit can work and how being filled with the Holy Spirit works. And there's, I could give you countless examples. But I had we had a problem with our dryer about a month ago. And it had to be fixed, so I called the repairman, and the repairman came, and he was working on it. And I always try to think about how can I share the love of Christ with a person. You know, it might be just very, not real blatant, but anyway, just kind of keep an open mind. Sometimes there isn't an opportunity to. But the Lord kind of set the stage, because the gentleman there said, oh, are you a Christian? He saw the Bible on our kitchen table. And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, actually, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh, he said, wow. He said, no, you got to be a Christian then. I said, well, I said, yeah, you'd hope so. And so we started talking about his life and what he was going through. And he was going through a challenging time with his wife. And she was dealing with some demonic issues and stuff. And so I prayed with him. And he kind of just showed me, or shared with me the journey that they've been on. It's been a very tough journey. But they're moving forward. She's not totally healed at this point, but she is. And one of the things he said, you know, this stuff is real. People don't think it is, but it is. And the good news is he's plugged into a healthy church, and there are a number of elders in the church. And one of these elders is known to be more evangelistic and really in tune with the Holy Spirit, kind of like Bishop Atwood. You know, Bishop Atwood gave the example, some of you may remember a couple years ago when he was in an African nation that was under Sharia law, and he was there, and there were peanuts there, and he kind of gave the analogy, We talked about the peanuts and the woman. He had Bibles too. And the woman got focused, the guard got focused on the peanuts and just let him through. And it was the Holy Spirit who gave the bishop the insight to talk about the peanuts, because he didn't know how he's going to get through with these Bibles, because it was illegal to bring Bibles into this land. So that's an example of the Holy Spirit's leading, right? You got to be open to it. It comes through maturity too of faith. Well, this elder would get premonitions and from the Holy Spirit. He believed from the Holy Spirit. And so one night he got this image of ice cream. And he felt that the Lord was telling him to go to the Tasty Freeze, the local Tasty Freeze. And so he got in his car, he went to the Tasty Freeze, and he was questioning. He's like, I don't understand this, but I just have this pull. And then he gets to the Tasty Freeze, and the store is the joint is closed. And he's like, what is this? He said, maybe I wasn't listening right. But then he looked across the street, and he saw there was a bus, and outside of the bus there were a number of Haitian migrant workers who were using the ATM machine. And so immediately he said, ah, the Lord wanted me to share the gospel with those Haitian migrant workers, because he also knows French. He's bilingual. And so he was able to share the gospel in French with those Haitian workers. Nine came to Christ as a result of him just going up and sharing the gospel. They were like, wow, where did this guy come from? Everything's closed, right? And God used him because he was open to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying everybody's at that point in terms of their gifting or whatever, but what I'm highlighting that's an example of someone who is open, willing, available, and then goes and steps out in faith to do something that's good, to share the good news. A second example, many of you know, a couple weeks ago, Bishop Abraham visited us, and I took him out to lunch with Father Wendell of the Anglican Church of the Atonement in Buffalo. And we had lunch there, and the waitress was serving us. And I've encouraged all of you, too, to think about ways to reach out. One of the ways is to ask a waitress or waiter if there's anything we can pray for them, you know, when you say grace or what have you. And sometimes, you know, someone says no, and that's okay. We're going to get rejected. I don't do what I do for those who are going to reject the message. We're still planting a seed. I do what I do. We do what we do for those who are going to say yes to the good news of Jesus, because that's our only hope, right? So anyway, I asked this woman, asked this lady, young lady, is there anything we can pray for her? And she said, she thought about a minute, and she said, yeah, you know what? Pray for those who are being trafficked, human trafficking, those who are being against their will. And I said, that's a great prayer. And I said, it just so happens that we had the director of PATH, People Against Human Trafficking, Trafficking Humans here. At that point, it was just like 10 days ago. And I gave her information about the ministry in Buffalo, and she took down that information. She said, you know what, thank you. I'm going to look into that, because this was an opportunity now for her to not just pray about something, but to make a difference, something that was on her heart. She lives in Buffalo. She's probably aware of some of the issues that are going on. And it was all because I simply, from the leading of the Holy Spirit, asked her if there was anything we can pray for you. And then all of us prayed. We pray for those who are dealing here in that ministry, and also those who are suffering from that. We planted a seed. We encouraged her in her walk as well. And all of us can do that, but it starts having the decision to say, yes, I want to walk by the Spirit. It continues by what is our focus? What's our destination? It continues by maintaining that balance in life. Priorities, guys, priorities, right? It continues by doing it each and every day, step by step. And finally, we need to realize this is a journey. It's a process. We're going to get distracted, but if we're being led by the Spirit, we're going to get back on track so that God can truly transform all of us until that day he calls us home. That, my brothers and sisters, is kind of the core of the Spirit-filled life. God calls us to be filled. There's no other way to live for him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us. It's Jesus in us, and greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a spirit that is so powerful. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. You haven't given us a spirit of anxiousness, but of confidence. You have not given us a spirit of doubt, but of faith. We pray, Lord, that we would walk by the Spirit, that we would allow the Spirit to fill us, that we would do those things that we need to do in order to allow and to have the Spirit and fill us. Just as we plug in our smartphones to be recharged, may we plug in to the Holy Spirit, so that we can truly be the light and love of Jesus. We thank you and we ask it in his name. Amen.